Have you ever wanted to work in a flying ICU? Or maybe you're just passionate about saving lives. Right now you can realize your dream by applying to work for one of the best teams in the air medical industry. Air Methods is currently hiring qualified flight nurses, medics, and mechanics to join our air medical team. Check out our new salary and benefits packages. Visit airmethods.com/careers and apply today. That's airmethods.com/careers.
The content of this podcast is based on medical fact and evidence-based practice from credible authoritative sources, but is not a substitute for your institution's policies, procedures, common sense, or good judgment. The views and opinions are those of Eric Bauer and FlightBridge Ed in their entirety. This is the FlightBridge Ed Podcast, critical care and emergency medicine education for nurses and paramedics. Here's your host, Eric Bauer.
Hey everybody, Eric with you here at EMS World 2021, and we have a special episode. We have Kyle Drizzi with us from LifeLink 3, and we're going to talk about the mobile ECMO program that's with University of Minnesota, and you as a flight paramedic, the flight crew from the NOCA base, kind of your role. That's what we want to talk about. What is your guys' role in that program? Very exciting stuff happening in Minneapolis. And co-hosting with us is Mike Verkest, and he's going to really drive the conversation. So let's get started.
Let's do it. So tell us a little bit about what you do and give us the info.
Okay. So hi, my name is Kyle. 2.5 years ago, we started this mobile ECMO program through the University of Minnesota with the Minnesota Mobile Resuscitation Consortium. And we tried to employ this model. It's a field test. We received a grant from the Helmsley Foundation, which allowed us to pursue this idea, which is, can we bring cardiac arrest care everywhere in the form of ECMO CPR? So we started the team with 7 flight nurses and flight paramedics, along with some interventional cardiologists at the university. And we respond in squad cars to local emergency departments where we have fluoroscopy and we place patients on ECMO in the ED. We've been running that model for 2.5 years now. We just did our 83rd case yesterday.
Wow.
And that's through COVID and bed availability that we are all struggling with currently. And our survival rates, you can see in the arrest trial, because you guys had Dimitri Yiannopoulos on here.
We
talked about arrest. And so the next phase of this is what you see here at EMS World with the mobile ECMO truck, where we essentially built a cath lab that's on wheels that we can bring places and try to bring ECMO care to more rural areas.
I think the thing that's so amazing, and you see this a lot up in that Minnesota area, is just the forward thinking. And I think you see that same thing in the Northwest, and I just love that. So can you go into really the infrastructure, how all that came about? Because you have to have a combined effort from all EMS agencies around that area. I know everybody has Lucas devices. So how has that worked?
So the Helmsley Foundation has been very progressive in Minnesota, because I obviously wasn't a Minnesotan my entire life. They provide Lucases to all the EMS departments.
Right.
They're putting brand new Wi-Fi AEDs in every cop car in all of Minnesota. So they're very progressive from a resuscitation standpoint. And it's just been one thing after another. All the medical directors all cohabitate in the Minnesota Mobile Resuscitation Consortium. So they're all on the same page. They disseminate the same information to all their crews. Everyone is very ECMO-centric. So it's a very neat place to work. I was talking to Keith Lurie yesterday, and I told him that like we're very fortunate where we are. It's almost like this unfair advantage that we have in the Midwest of ECMO is a very normal thing for us for cardiac arrest.
Yeah, it's incredible. So I'm from the Northwest, like Eric mentioned, just outside of Portland, Oregon. And we are progressive in a lot of things, but we're not even close. Right. Nobody's close to Minnesota as far as cardiac arrest stuff goes. So it's just incredible to see this type of technology, this type of treatment being brought to that patient. And I think all eyes are on you guys. Right. Like that's the thing that is amazing to me and is what excites me is like everybody's watching but they're watching super close. Right. And I love that. But no one's willing to make that jump till they get a little bit more data, a little bit more comfortable with the idea. We've got a couple of hospitals that are this close to taking those patients that are in arrest. And in our area, you can't throw a rock without hitting a hospital. So we have hospitals all over in the metro area, really high performing hospitals. And they're almost there, but I'm thinking it's going to be another year or two. But to see what you guys have been doing, it's just been incredible.
So one of the things that I'm always interested in is how do you take such a high performing area, right? You guys are making such a difference in that area. It's about expanding that and duplicating that all over the country, right? And that is such a hard task. Obviously, you're seeing survival in the high 40, low 50% range, neurologically intact, walking out of the hospital. Those numbers are absolutely unheard of. But obviously, there's a lot of funding that has to happen. There has to be a lot of cohesiveness. A lot of people have to agree, right? And I think that's sometimes the hardest thing. You have those naysayers. So what do you say to the naysayers out there? Have you been surprised by the success?
Yeah, I mean, the crazy part of America is it's 50 different countries all put together, and they all do things very differently.
Oh, yeah.
So we're in this very fortunate area that ECMO is this normal thing that we talk about every day. Patients come in cardiac arrest. They're like, yep, this patient goes on ECMO. And it's interesting to see all the different mindsets. And I think it's just going to take time. They're going to have to see how we implement this field test and what we ascertain from this and what we publish. And hopefully the data just speaks for itself.
Yeah. So far it is.
Yeah. So on the last part of this, can you talk a little bit about your role as a flight team in this process? I think that's something that our listeners really want to know about. Is that's exciting. You're doing some exciting things. So talk about that.
Yeah. So the neat part of our team is really it's an interventional cardiologist and a flight clinician. It's a 2-person ECMO team. It's not a 10-person ECMO team. And as a flight clinician, I'm a flight paramedic normally, but on this team, I do very little that involves helicopter EMS. I function essentially as a first assist for the interventional cardiologist, someone you would see in cath lab scrubbed up. And then I also function really as a role of a perfusionist. I help manage the ECMO pump. We use cardio helps where we're at, and I have to do hemodynamics and things of that nature that you would see a perfusionist or an ECMO specialist in the hospital do.
Yeah. And then talk about, you have partnerships with fire departments. There's a specific fire department, and how do you utilize them? Who runs the vent? I know mechanical ventilation is applied differently in an ECMO patient, more about recruitment. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we deal with local EMS when we need to transfer the patient from that local ED where we placed ECMO, and we need to transport the patient back to the university. So we have local agreements with the fire departments to respond and do critical care transport, and we still run the patient, and they assist us, and it's been really smooth so far.
And so what are your shifts like? Do you rotate? Obviously, you're at a base that has a rotor, a fixed wing. And so what's your standard month?
Yeah. So those of us that run on the mobile ECMO team also work at the base that does the ECMO transports. Sure. So we're all very familiar with that model. And essentially we do about 33% of helicopter transporting, then we are on the airplane for about 33% of our time, and then we spend another 33% on ECMO. Nice. So we have a 1/3 staffing model, and there's currently about 13 flight clinicians that rotate through ECMO at the university.
Yeah. Well, is there anything you want to tell the listeners? What do you see this program doing maybe in the next 12 to 18 months? Anything, any changes, any advances?
I think the neatest part of ECMO so far of doing this program, because I was one of the original 7 people who started this team, and it's unbelievable how much we don't know.
Yeah.
And Dimitri will say the same thing. Every day he's surprised by patients. I mean, he'll have patients come in with 2 hours of Lucas CPR with a lactate of 25. And some of these patients walk out of the hospital. I mean, like not even discharged to rehab, like actually are discharged
going
and walk
back
out
home, back to their lives.
So where we thought the line was of what's possible, we keep moving the end zone. I mean, it's incredible.
So one last thing, talk really quickly about what is the criteria, what has to happen to activate that ECMO team, from a cardiac standpoint, onset, Lucas,
so
all that stuff.
We built a model that we tried to make it robust from falling apart. So all of our ECMO requests come through one place as one telephone number, and it goes through Lifelink 3 dispatch. A ground crew can call that number. as long as the patient is 18 to 75, the presenting rhythm was VTAC VFib, and they had failed at least one shock. We take patients that are outside of that criteria, but it has to be consulted with the interventional cardiologist.
Sure.
So they call our Lifeline 3 dispatch. They say, I have a potential ECMO case, and they're connected immediately to an interventional cardiologist that's on the team, that's on call. And they can consult with that cardiologist, or they can just activate the team. And then all the pieces are put into motion. Wherever that patient's at, they go to the local ED that we place ECMO at, or they come back to the university if they're closer to the university.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, guys, these are the exciting things. I really appreciate you taking the time to come join us, Kyle.
Of course.
And share your experience. Super proud of all the things you guys have accomplished as a team, as a company. And I'm glad that we can get this information out to people. Maybe, is there any contact information you want to share if people have ideas or have questions?
Yeah, so the Minnesota Mobile Resuscitation Consortium runs a Facebook page.
Okay.
And that's usually a really easy outreach.
Excellent.
We monitor it, and people can post comments and
Perfect.
Questions on there.
Awesome. All right. Well, we are going to wrap this up. Until next time, we will talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thanks.
This has been a production of the Flight Bridge Ed Podcast, leading the way in pre-hospital critical care and emergency medicine education.